Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from the 9th chapter of Isaiah, from verses 2 to 7. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nations, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused nerves and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is God's will. One of the purposes of Advent is to teach us to wait on the Lord, to wait for him when his law shows to us our disobedience and our guilt before him, and when the hot displeasure of his anger over our pride and selfishness is made known to us. To wait on him when we have suffered rightly and justly because of our sin, and not to sink into despair. To wait on him amid our discontent and temptation and worry and fear. To wait on him under heavy crosses that we bear and in painful disgust at the abominable actions of the world and often of ourselves. We wait on him, for with him there is plenteous redemption and abundant forgiveness. He will restore. He will give us that gladness that we long for. His messianic government, his kingdom will come. It is already working among us, reigning and blessing and protecting us. Isaiah's true message for us comes in the form of the most glorious birth announcement ever. Unto you is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It is the birth of the King of Kings. It is the advent of his kingdom. With awe and wonder, we hear the prophet say that the mighty God is born as a human child for us and for our salvation. He did this that he might be the Prince of Peace, peace between God and sinners. He became a man of flesh and blood and struggled and suffered and died for this reason only, that he might keep God's holy law, to earn for us eternal life and salvation, and that he might be a righteous substitute to bear our damnation and our punishment. So he is our Savior from hell, and the righteous one for whose sake we are accepted as children of God and are heirs to the everlasting treasure. And we are greatly encouraged to come to him with confidence in our repentance and in our distresses, because we know that he loved us so much that he became human to help us. He suffered with us and he suffered for us. One can think of the English village which celebrated the centennial of the birth of a famous scientist that had been born there, and they brought out a banner that said, "He was one of us," to proclaim the incarnation of the Son of God is to joyously spread out a banner before the world that says, he was and is one of us. He will help us. We are sure of ultimate victory over all the enemies of the truth and of the everlasting kingdom of Christ. This is victory over oppressors, even over the oppressors of suffering Christians. Victory even over the devils that seek to ruin us spiritually and eternally. Isaiah said that the Messiah's work is like the triumph at the time of Midian, at that time when God raised up Gideon to deliver the people of Israel from the Midianites. Be of good cheer, your cause belongs to him who can avenge your wrong. Leave it to him, our Lord. Though hidden yet from mortal eyes, his Gideon shall for you arise, uphold you and his word. We always love happy endings. Nahum Tate, the hymn writer, was a popular playwright who once changed the famous sad ending into a happy one. Shakespeare's play, King Lear, is a tragic tale in which Lear is truly treated by his children, and good does not triumph over evil. Nahum Tate changed that. He rewrote the play so that things come out right at the end, and added a romantic love story to it. This version of the play was popular for many years. But not all stories have happy endings, we say. Life does not have all happy endings. True, true, all too true. But still, we have hope and life because of the birth of Christ. The story of that birth has a happy ending because it ends in Easter, in resurrection and ascension, and in Christ reigning over all things as the King of Kings. But in order to speak precisely about that, we have to make a paradox out of it. The story of Christ's kingdom has a happy ending because it has no ending. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, says the prophet. Jesus is alive, working, powerful, and wise. He is going to give, eventually, a happy ending to all of our sad stories. He is going to give a happy ending to our woes and conflicts, to our lives, to history itself. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen.
Throughout the 20th century, since the birth of Jesus at Bethlehem, Christians have never ceased to wonder at the astounding miracle of Christmas. Like the Mother Mary, we have pondered these things in our hearts. This thing, he who encompasses whole world, is contained in the womb of a virgin. He who is eternal enters the limitations of time. The only begotten Son of the Father, from all eternity, is literally born again. A spirit by nature, he takes on flesh and becomes a vertebrate. Once dressed in majesty, he is now wrapped in swaddling clothes. The vast reaches of eternity are exchanged for the narrow confines of a cow stable. But really, that is only half the miracle of Christmas. The rest, believe it or not, concerns us. God has brought it to pass that you and I, in a sense, go through the same incredible cycle that his Son did, only in reverse. Just yet, we too are born again, the scriptures tell us. Christ, by nature, we take on spirit. Already endowed with animal, biological life, we receive, in addition, God's kind of life. Vertebrates, mind you, vertebrates enter the family of God. Piddling creatures of time are destined for eternity. Occupants of a mere speck in the cosmic system called Earth are headed for the Father's home, where there are many mansions. So you see, Christmas is a story of two miracles. The miracle of God entering our life, and the miracle of us entering his life. So this is a story of two cycles. The cycle of God being born of a virgin, and the cycle of man being born of God. A parallelism that is perhaps included in that passage that all of us have come to love especially at this time of the year. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich.